Well, looky here. Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome, and I'm in Southern California. Great to be with you. And we have got a day now. I've got a great program for you. We have a ton to get to. Let's not waste any time. I need to lay all of this out for you. Let me start you off with a telephone number. Toll free, 1-800-636-8686. You want to jump on that right away because we are going to load this thing up starting in the bottom of hour number one. This is your best chance to get through. Hit me. Start dialing. It is a Thursday. We are coming up on championship weekend, NFC, AFC title games, the breakdowns. Got the podcast after the program, Jim Rome's Big Head Bets, my thoughts, my picks, the Big Head, and more. Lots to get to. It's a good day. Hit us up if you want to do so on social media. And social media is a topic today. I'll get to that later on. Find me on Twitter at Jim Rome, or if you want, you can hit me up via email, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Some of you associate Thursday with what's your beef? We beef every single Thursday in season. The only question is, when during the show do we beef? Today, it's the top of hour number three. So if you're waiting on that, top of hour number three, what's your beef? You can beef about anything you want. Anything that's aggravating you, you can beef about. Sports, non-sports, anything at all. Before we get there, let me lay out the rest of the program. Coming up at the bottom of hour number one, or at 9:40 Eastern Pacific Times, I've got the quarterback's coach at QB Collective, Will Hewlett. He coached, among others, Brock Purdy. So I want to get his thoughts, his insight, as into how Mr. Irrelevant went from the last player taken in the draft to the guy who's going to start the NFC Championship game. He worked with him. He'll have some insight. Coming up at 10:40, the Pro Football Doc, Dr. David Chow. Normally he joins us, and he will again on Jim Rome's Big Head Bets, but this is big, right? The health of Patrick Mahomes, the health of the Bengals offensive line, some of the key guys this weekend. He is the former longtime team doctor for the Chargers, Dr. David Chow. He joins us at the bottom of the second hour. I want to get his thoughts on that high ankle sprain and how that's going to inhibit, if it's going to inhibit or impede, Patrick Mahomes. What's your beef? Top of hour three. And then Romeo Doubs, wide receiver for the Packers, is going to close the show out at 11:40. Did I tell you? Lots to get done on this Thursday. So get up in here. Let's do this. Let me start by saying this. In terms of the matchups this weekend, always a pretty good sign for a playoff matchup, especially a conference championship matchup, when the betting line is moving all over the place, when money is flying in on both sides, when the spread is jumping around like, I don't know, Jake Rome at Camp Randall at a Badgers home game. On Wisconsin, baby. And on Bengals Chiefs. On Wisconsin. On Badger Mafia. Hey, old what's-your-face, don't call me with that. On Wisconsin. Badger Nation. Badger Mafia. Whatever. Anyway. On Bengals Chiefs. On AFC Championship rematch. Because this AFC Championship rematch is pretty freaking amazing. Case in point, the wild and extreme movement of that line all week long. Essentially, the betting line on this game is drunk.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
The line is drunk, but there it goes.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
Kevin Harlan, legend. Yeah. As I already mentioned earlier in the week, KC did open up as a 1.5-point favorite. Then it swung all the way back to Cincinnati's side, and the Bengals were -2.5. Pretty rare. Pretty rare to see line movement like that in a game of this magnitude. And even more rare to see Patrick Mahomes?
Mahomes?
And the Chiefs as a home dog in the playoffs. Pretty rare. How rare? So rare that that's never actually happened. Think about that. Patrick Mahomes in his prime and the Chiefs a home dog in the playoffs. That's never happened, and for pretty obvious reasons. And you know what the thing is? It may still not happen. Because this morning, that drunken sailor, that bleep-canned betting line, is already three sheets to the wind and moving around again. At last sight, it was sitting as a pick'em, even money. And then, of course, it shifted yet again towards KC. This is what I'm saying, man. The wind is blowing. And it's going to shift some more because right about now it's got the spins at the club at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I would expect a little more wobbling and more swaying. But really, to me, the line should not have budged from a pick'em game because even money feels right, no matter where that game is. Normally, when a game is played at home, you know, give 3 points to the visiting team. Not this game. These two teams are so evenly matched. And it feels wrong to call either one of them an underdog, right? I mean, would you call Joe Burrow an underdog? Would you call Patrick Mahomes an underdog? Would you call either one of these teams underdogs? Not at all. But then don't take my word for it. Take it from either QB because both of these dudes have made it perfectly clear that they never see themselves as underdogs in any game. And of course, they shouldn't. We're talking about a couple of future Hall of Famers. Take Patrick Mahomes. He said it yesterday. You know, bad ankle or not, I'm no underdog.
Yeah, I mean, every time I walk on that field, I don't think I'm an underdog, especially when I walk on Arrowhead's field. So I just go in with the same mindset of we're going to play our best football to win. We know we're playing a great football team that's beat us the last three times. And so we have to learn from our mistakes in the past and be better in order to win against a great football team.
Keep in mind, he said, whenever we or I walk onto, quote, Arrowhead's field. I'll go back to that in a minute. Hey, listen, you don't get to be Patrick Mahomes without that mindset, right? But I will admit, even Joe Burrow's version of this same sentiment last week was even swaggier than that.
Do you feel like an underdog going into this game?
Never feel like an underdog.
Kind of sniffed, you know? That sniff right there at the end of that, I never feel like an underdog. That literal and metaphorical sniff, like he sniffed. Slider. That was the epitome of, or the equivalent of, please.
Please.
And that's what that was. Me. Joe Burrow. That was the equivalent also of, you know who the hell I am?
You know who the hell I am?
Alvy. That was quick. Me. Expecting anything less, or me being an underdog. You know who the hell I am? The only reason either one of these guys would be considered underdogs is because of that Mahomes high ankle sprain, which did look gnarly as hell last weekend. However, the news on that, given the extremity, given the way it looked, the news on that actually has been very positive so far this week. And again, I'll have the Pro Football Doc by later on to give his expert take. But looking at how it looked when it happened, and then looking and listening at Patrick yesterday, you know, you got to feel about as good as you can given what it is. Patrick himself yesterday declared he's, quote, ready to go, end of quote. And even more important than that was that he was a full participant in practice. And there was footage on Twitter of dude bouncing around, getting a jog in, and looking fairly spry while he was doing it. Now, that doesn't mean all is well. That doesn't mean he's fine. But to me, it's a pretty good sign. A pretty good sign. Another good sign for the Chiefs is all the bulletin board material that Cincy player and Cincy fan are putting up this week. Remember you had Eli Apple running his mouth and clowning the hell out of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs online, on Twitter. Pretty amusing. In fact, pretty hilarious. Until he decided to work in his DeMar Hamlin reference, and then it wasn't funny at all. In fact, at least one Buffalo Bill jumped on social and threatened to kick his ass if he did it again. So then Apple walked that part back. But you know the Chiefs were watching that whole thing play out thinking, man, wait till we get our shot at this dude. Because you know he's going to run his mouth. But that's nothing compared to, and I said I would get back to Arrowhead, that's nothing compared to Burrowhead. As in Burrowhead Stadium, which is something that no less an authority than Bengals corner Mike Hilton actually yelled into a camera in Buffalo on Sunday, with Eli Apple flexing into the camera right behind him.
We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, get that thing in your mind. We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
I mean, I get that they were feeling it after what they just did to Buffalo. I get that they've been to Burrowhead before. But, man, that is something else, right? See you in Burrowhead? See you in Burrowhead. I've been to Arrowhead. Place is fierce, yo. That is, there's a reason why that's considered one of the so-called proverbial, quote, hostile environments. That is a really tough place to play for an opponent. And these guys are up and flexing into the camera with, see you in Burrowhead.
We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
And man, taking nothing away from the Bengals. Nobody can, right? They've got a big brass set. And they love running smack. And of course, I love that. And even more importantly, they've earned it. They've earned the right to do so. Because they back it up. But if you're going to look into a camera and say, see y'all in Burrowhead, man, you best back that up. You best back that up. Now you're writing big-ass checks with your mouth that you hope that your game can cash. But that's how strongly they feel about Burrow. They literally took Arrowhead and glossed it Burrowhead. So, you know Kansas City is taking heed. They're paying notice. They're even saying that they're noticing it. You know, normally they'll play it off like, yeah, nah, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We don't care. We don't need that to motivate ourselves. And then the team that doesn't need to be motivated by it goes out and rolls the other team and then says, hell yes, we were motivated by it. But that's not what's going on here. They're already saying that they know about it. They're already saying that they're hearing it. Here's Travis Kelce. Not that you want to give that guy, the best tight end ever, any motivation. But here's what he said on the latest Kelce Brothers podcast this week about, quote, Burrowhead.
Getting everybody fired up. We are the loudest stadium in the world on record. 142 decibels.
Did you guys break the record this week?
I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to break it this week because a lot of Cincinnati Bengals fans are calling it Burrowhead instead of
Burrowhead.
Arrowhead.
Whoa!
Yeah,
no, the disrespect to Arrowhead continues.
They're throwing a lot of bulletin board material out there, Ron.
All right, so notice the way he said that with that tone. You know, like, he heard it. And if he heard it, they all heard it. So it's easy to say, you know, hey, if you need bulletin board material at this level, then you're not at this level and you shouldn't be at this level and you shouldn't play the game anyway. You know, all that stuff. And don't get it twisted. Professional athletes are always looking for any kind of edge, any kind of fuel, anything at all to motivate and drive and get them to dig even deeper. Any slight, real or perceived, lame or not, cringy or not, corny or not. They are. I mean, do you have any idea how much fuel Michael Jordan was able to get out of a bunch of crap that he used to just make up?
That's bullshit.
He did. He would make up crap just to motivate himself and drive himself, whatever it took. So you can say that cheesy bulletin board material is fake and that if you need it, you're weak. But I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. You're wrong if you think that, because these dudes actually do run with this stuff more often than not, which is fine. I'm not saying don't say it. Say whatever the hell you want. Do whatever the hell you want. I mean, I would leave DeMar Hamlin out of it, Eli. But say whatever you want, do whatever you want, as long as you show up, show out, and back it up. And the Bengals generally do. And in this case, they are bringing all the swagger, all the confidence, and all the smack for good reason. Why? Well, it's been a minute since they lost a big game. And more importantly, they have beaten Kansas City in their last three meetings, including last year in this very same game, in this very same stadium. You know, Burrowhead Stadium. So what I'm saying to you is this game's got the makings of an epic classic. Who you got? Who you got? Big Head and I will release our picks on Jim Rome's Big Head Bets after the program. But in the meantime, before I do that officially on record, I want to ask the question, who you got? a KC fan, I want to ask you, how hard were you tripping when you saw Patrick get hit? And then how hard were you tripping all week long? And then how much better did you feel after you saw him yesterday? However, how sad would you be if he went with one of those walking boots onto the practice field? I mean, you saw the guy. No limp walking off the podium from that presser. And I know you've been watching that on a loop, right? Telling yourself, it's all good, it's all good, it's all good, it's all good. However, he did glide away from that podium. But what if it was just two steps and then the camera panned away and then he put that boot back on? Then what? Now, not that I want to go deep into this, but hear me out. Bengals and Burrow aside, in a vacuum, all right? And I don't want to give it up, but you're telling me I can get Patrick Mahomes and the home field.
Mahomes?
And a point or more? I mean, sign me up for KC, right? Yeah, but Rome, it's Mahomes on one leg. Yeah, well, I'll take that guy with no legs over most quarterbacks with three legs. Signed it, Nick from Indy. There, clone. Sorry, I did it for you. Keep it in your phone. Keep that in your folder. Don't hit send. Who you got? Essentially, I'm asking, who you got? Who you got? And what do you make of Travis Kelce on his own podcast saying, yeah, we heard it. We saw it. Burrowwood.
They're throwing a lot of bulletin board material out there, Ron.
A lot of bulletin board material and bullets out there, man. I'll tell you what. I can see why the Bengals feel that way. And if they go in there and they beat them again, then it is Burrowwood. Might be a little premature to call it Burrowwood right now.
Where's the Allen Burrowhead?
Burrowhead, I should say. Not Wood. Sign Nick and Andy. Anyway. Thanks, Avi. Thanks for picking me up. If they go in there and they do it again, I got Wood on the mind. What can I say? If they go in there and they beat them again, it is Burrowhead. But it might be premature to call it right now. But then how do you fault Cincinnati for feeling that good about themselves after what they just did to Buffalo? Orchard Burrow. Burrow Park.
Where's the Allen Burrow here?
Now that we're done here at Burrow Park, we're headed to Burrowhead. And then after we take care of that, we'll be going to Burrowdale.
Whoa.
Or Glen Burrow. Anyway, where do you come out? Who do you got? Who do you have? 1-800-636-8686. Let me get some reaction really quickly. See what's up. Hey, pimp. There are no dogs in this house. We are straight frogs over here, homie. Regards, Kermit D. Mahomes. Robin the ATL. You know I'm a big Patrick Mahomes guy.
Especially when I walk on Arrowhead's field.
You can't really control your voice. But I'm going to have to allow that. That's kind of funny. Hey, Jim. I can sum up the reason the Chiefs are a home dog in two words. Joe Cool. No one has blasted into the league like this since, well, Pat Mahomes. There will be cigar smoke coming from the visitors' locker room come Sunday night. Robin Green Bay, there might be, man. There might be. I love the guy. You know how much I love this guy? I've been comparing him to Joe Montana. I mean, Joe was 4-0 in Super Bowls. And that is kind of a reach right now. But Burrow's just got that. When I make that comparison, it's just in the way he carries himself, the way he plays, the way the guy's not only utterly fearless and comfortable on the big stage, but thrives, loves it. I've just never seen a guy carry himself like that since Joe Montana. That's just me. And when I talk about Joe Montana, I hold that guy in higher regard than essentially anybody I've ever seen play in the NFL. I mean, I mean that. I think the world of Joe Montana. For me to mention Joe Burrow in the same conversation tells you how much I think of Joe Burrow. Hell yes, he could go into KC and do it again.
Never feel like an underdog.
Would anybody be surprised? Rome, Spider. It's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes, but Joe Cool is a low-key, silent assassin. I say all this to say, who wins? Football wins. We win. I can't wait for this game that ultimately Cincy wins. Pat in Seattle. I don't even think the guy's a low-key, silent assassin. He's an assassin. I'm not saying that he's up in your grill letting you know, but he's kind of up in your grill letting you know in a good way.
Never feel like an underdog.
Dude, this dude is an assassin. So is Patrick in a different way. Brian and San Pedro had to get this in. Jim, I also make lines move. Sign Chris Forrester. All right, so he got that in. The rest you can stop. You notice the combination right there? The Burrow sniff with Forrester hoovering the Bolivian marching powder. There's a sniff and then there's a hoover. There's a difference. Sniff is like, hey man, don't disrespect me. The hoover is a guy Spider. Blasting rails. That is the distinction between a sniff and a hoover. A hoover is a vacuum. A sniff is like, come on, man. Thanks, Alvy. At Columbus Hawk 74, quote, it is Burrowhead Jim. This is finally our year. I truly feel it. Long-suffering Bengal fan here. Hooday, War Joe Scheisty. I mean, maybe. I'm not saying no. Come on, man. Have you ever heard Jim Rome's Big Head Bets? Have you ever watched this show? Have you ever listened to this show? There's no bigger Burrow guy than me. I love him. I love them. Cincinnati, I love this for you. But we are talking about Patrick Mahomes. We are talking about the Chiefs. We are talking about Andy Reid. We're talking about all those things. There's a reason why they've gone to the conference title game 5 years in a row. I'm not disregarding or disrespecting anything about either one of them. I could not love this any more than I do. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome. At Cell Breeze writes, hey, Romy, Cincy fan here. Look here. 1 foot, 2 feet, no feet. Pat Mahomes is still scary. We have to play perfect ball. Let's go, Bengals. Hooday! Hey, there's something to it. Yeah. Again, I don't care if this guy, to quote Ty Cobb, got no feet. Of course, the context for that's different. Ty Cobb went into the stands and beat down a handicapped individual. And somebody said, Ty, he's got no hands. And Ty Cobb apparently said, I don't care if he got no feet. Classy, Ty. Stay classy, Tyrus.
Foot, feet.
Same thing about Mahomes. Like, I don't care if the guy's on one leg or no legs. He's dangerous. He's still dangerous. And one more for you. Hey, Bengals, I like this. I like this energy. I like this reaction. It's exactly what I was looking for. Bring it. Bring it. Bengals fans, Chiefs fans, bring it. I love it. This one says, hey, Bengals, keep spewing the garbage. You have no idea what's coming to you. War Arrowhead and War Iafredi calling the Jim Rome Show at 11:15 a.m. on February 13th.
Arrowhead's filled, so...
Mike and KC. And then this dude. Jim, there are no dogs this weekend. The dogs are gone. No, they're gone. Signed Rome's mom, Vince in Illinois. Rome's mom, that's strong. Like Spiffler's mom? Dude, like Rome's mom would know her own name, right? That's how I know that's fake, Vince. Rome's mom would not sign something to me, Rome's mom. Actually, knowing Rome's mom, and I do, she's my mom, she would sign it, mother. Love, mother.
Your mom.
Or she knows her own name. She's not Rome's mom. Nice try, Vince. You almost got me. There are no dogs this weekend. The dogs are gone. No, they're gone. Sign Rome's mom. I don't think we need to relive
your mom,
the Rome family dog massacre. It's a very sad time for me. You know, I'm an animal guy. Hell, I mean, I love those dogs more than I love most members of my family. How do you, come on, Vince. You got to go there? Don't judge, dude. All right, I got to get out. There it is, the proverbial 25-minute open. Because I bleeping can. Don't mess with me. Four NFL teams. Two, right? Give me the vacuum now, Alvin. Don't mess with me. Four NFL teams, two conference championship games, and only a few more shots to win big on the playoffs with my buddies at DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 57, new customers can bet $5, but get $200 in free bets instantly. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the code Rome. New customers can bet $5 on the conference championships and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You have to use the code Rome, R-O-M-E. You do have to be present in state where it is lawful to wager. 21 or older in most eligible states. Age does vary by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Void in Ohio and Ontario. Bonus issued as free bets. One boost per eligible game. Deposit, parlay, and wagering restrictions do apply. Eligibility and terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so really quickly, short segment, but some breaking news. Last week, I talked about a perfect match, and it was a match made in heaven, but not football heaven, but content heaven, right? The match between the biggest failure of a head coach in the league this season and the biggest failure of a quarterback in the league this season. Yes, I was talking about, and I still am, Nate Can't Hack It and Zachary the Cougar Hunter Wilson. Alvy. Never mind the breaking news sounder. Hit me with some royalty-free techno instead. This just in, at Tom Pelissero tweets, the Jets are hiring former Broncos coach Nathaniel Hackett as their offense coordinator per sources. Hackett previously called plays in Buffalo and Jacksonville, where he worked with Robert Saleh and was widely revered during his tenure as Green Bay's OC. A big hire. And Rap Sheet added on Twitter, quote, their top choice for the last week or so, the decision was Hackett's about whether he wanted to return to coaching so soon. Robert Saleh interviewed about 15 people, ended up with choice number one. All right, so on the one hand, like I said last week, I love it. The biggest failure as a head coach this year gets paired with the biggest failure as a quarterback this year. Perfect. But you know what? Maybe it's not about that. I mean, maybe it is about that. But maybe it's about something else. Maybe it's about finding another way to get Aaron Rodgers to New York. Because there's been more and more speculation about what Aaron might do and if he's going to return or not to the NFL. And if he does return, will it be with the Packers? Or is he ready for a change of scenery? And if he is ready for something different, would it be with the Jets? Or the Raiders? Or the Seahawks? I don't know. The Jets make sense on some level. Hey! And if you bring in Hackett, who you know did very well with Aaron, and Aaron with him, it would make even more sense. you know, do you make that move in the hopes that it brings you closer to Aaron Rodgers? Hell yes. But do you make that move in that it helps you with the Coug Hunter if you've not given up on him yet? I would argue yes. And maybe it works out. Or maybe it's the tire fire that we all hope it'll be. Either way, he was extremely well-respected as a coordinator, even though he took an extremely huge dump in his pants as a head coach. And I think you have to at least factor in consideration of Aaron Rodgers when you see this and how it might impact his thinking. All right, so that just in. When we come back, we're going to talk to Will Hewlett. He's the quarterback's coach at QB Collective. And I love his background. And I want to get his thoughts on Brock Purdy because he helped get him ready for the draft. So we'll get some insight into Mr. Irrelevant and some other things. That's coming up next. Dr. David Chow next hour talking about Patrick Mahomes and his injury. Right now, though, here is a sports update. Here is Andrew Bogish.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. So what we're trying to do is get you ready for championship weekend and get you as many different angles and points of view as we possibly can. So with that in mind, we are joined right now by the lead coach at the Quarterback Collective. He has trained more than 60 Division I college quarterbacks in recent years, including Brock Purdy. He's a former Arena League quarterback. He played his college ball at Nevada. We are joined by Will Hewlett. Will, it's great to have you on the show. How are you?
Great, Jim. Appreciate you having me on.
Really good to have you, Will. Thanks so much. Let me ask you about Brock, because this guy's football odyssey obviously is amazing when you consider he went from being the last player taken in the draft, of course, to starting the NFC Championship game. I mean, incredible, right? So when did you first start working with him, and then what was your impression of his game and his ability?
Yeah, I got a chance to start working with Brock almost a year ago to this date. I shot down to Orlando for his final bowl game against Clemson, got to watch him up close and personal. And then he came up 3 days later and started training with us in Jacksonville, Florida. So I knew pretty early on he had some special traits just by the way that he approached his training, some of the improvements he made right off the bat. And it was super impressive to watch that progress through the offseason. And now seeing it all come to fruition on Sundays and big games is really rewarded.
So, Will, what about his makeup and his mindset? Like, do you work on those types of things with your players? And then what kind of marks do you give him in those areas?
Yeah, immediately. I mean, you know, I think the term is he's got a dog in him. He is really aggressive in terms of his approach at working on the little details and being a great quarterback. You know, we're always careful to not tinker too much with athletes as they're getting ready for the combine and the pro day. We don't want to overwhelm them with too much information or too many changes. But he was a type of athlete that was ready to take on anything that we threw at him. One of the comments he made was, "Hey, you can tell me everything. I can handle it." And initially, I was like, I don't know about that. But his ability to take on, you know, new technique changes in his release or different changes in his footwork. And then sit back and be critical of his own play and areas that he needed to improve on, you know, immediately stood out in the process and just super impressed to see him just progress the way he did through that offseason.
See, I love that, right, Will? You want guys who want to be coached hard. You want guys who want to get better. You want guys who want to grow. So given all the work that you did with him and his mindset and his willingness to learn, how surprised were you that he had to wait until the final pick of the draft and was taken by the Niners as, quote, Mr. Irrelevant?
Right. You know, I think I understand where NFL teams come from, although I still think the grading process is broken. I don't think evaluations of quarterbacks, I think it's a 50-50 for a lot of teams. I think if you even ask the 49ers, they would probably say that they missed on Brock Purdy. Obviously, he should have been drafted higher. I didn't think he would wait till the last pick to be taken. And again, I understand that the height and maybe he's not as athletic as some others, but he had, you know, elite scores in terms of, you know, the cognition testing we did and then his ability to his 0 to 10 split in terms of sprinting was actually pretty good. And so those areas that you see in his game that were there if you tested and looked for. But I think, again, we're very caught up in the measurables that we're so used to in terms of the height and the you know, how big the arm is, et cetera, when some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time have been, I guess, deficient in some of those areas. So it's I think he was missed by a lot of teams. You know, they did the draft over. He should have gone a lot higher.
We're talking to Will Hewlett. Will, one more thing, not to be redundant, but like Bruce Feldman, who is an excellent college football writer for The Athletic, was able to dig up some anonymous pre-draft evaluations. It's one thing to miss on a guy, and I understand that it's an inexact science, but Bruce dug up one quote where a team had, quote, no interest. Another called him, quote, sawed off, end of quote. Like, teams will do what they do, but what's your reaction to those two evaluations?
I mean, again, it blows your mind that these multi-billion-dollar organizations have, you know, it's recycling the same type of people, I think, that have a mindset that's outdated, you know. And I get not overcorrecting to the analytics side of things, but I think if you dig into the numbers and you truly look at the film and you understand who an athlete is, and then, you know, if you're able to measure, you know, how they can process and then see the improvements they made, then you can come up with, I think, a much better evaluation of athletes. And again, you see it every year where there's guys that are potentially missed. Even with the Dolphins this year with Skylar Thompson, I mean, he had a lot of success and he was a late round pick. So I think we have to continually evaluate how we look at the quarterback position, and there's still a lot to learn.
It's a great point. Now, Will, obviously you feel very strongly about him. I can hear it. And I hear what you're saying. I know you have confidence in Brock based on the work the two of you did and the way you know him. But did you have the kind of confidence where you would expect him to step right in and lead the Niners to the NFC Championship game and rip off 7 wins in a row and be totally unflappable once Jimmy Garoppolo went down? Did you see that happening?
I wish I could say I did, but sure. I mean, honestly, I did know he had, I guess, the X factor, right? We, our team of trainers and people I work with, we could tell that he was different about how he approached his training and how he executed things. You know, could I have predicted this much success so early? I don't think so, but I did know that at some point, if he got a chance to get on the field, it was going to be really difficult for someone else to get their job back. You know, happening his rookie year in the situation, maybe couldn't have predicted that. But I am not surprised by how he is in terms of his demeanor and on-field presence. Those things were very evident to me, you know, during his pro day. And again, I know the pro day is not playing in a football field, but when you get to know him, you can kind of see how he is in a pressured situation. Every throw you make is being evaluated, you know, in terms of where you may or may not fall and how a team likes you. So in those scenarios, he really produced when it mattered, and he continued to get better, and he's going to continue to improve, which is awesome that he still has upside.
Hey, Will, speaking of pressure, you're right. Every one of those throws comes with a lot of pressure because you're being evaluated on every single throw. There's that pressure, and then there's what he's going to deal with this weekend. In terms of his mental toughness and his approach and his ability to deal with pressure, what do you think he's going to do when he goes into Philly and you know he's going to deal with 65,000 fueled up Philly fans with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line on Sunday? That's a whole different kind of pressure. How do you think he'll handle that?
I think he's going to thrive in that environment. The mindset that he has, you know, even last week, the first throw, it's a little wet, ball's high. You know, he responds quickly to maybe a misfire or a mistake. You know, we look at athletes on how they respond to, you know, is it a one rep correction? And Brock does a really good job. If something goes wrong, it's not going to derail him. He's very centered. He's not a, he's very even keeled in his approach. Even as a person, you know, he's not going to get overly excited or overly frustrated. And so I think he does a great job. And the matchup between him and Kyle Shanahan, that relationship, I think it's obviously a really perfect one. And it's exciting to see how he's experienced and overcome all the pressure in the previous game. So I think he's going to roll into Philly. I know it's going to be a different environment, but I have confidence in his ability to produce great results again.
So, Will, finally, you mentioned Kyle Shanahan. This is the antithesis of what you teach, but play along if you don't mind. It's kind of unclear what the Niners will do next season at quarterback because the team will have decisions to make. Based on the kind of competitor that Brock Purdy is and the success that he's had this year, what do you think his reaction would be if the 49ers decided to go back to Trey Lance? Again, I know you don't want to think about that, but can I get you to respond to that anyway?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think I think he would be he's going to be a team player. I think he'd probably be frustrated based on knowing what he's been able to put on the field. But I don't think that would discourage him and stop him from working to then, you know, prove that maybe he does belong as a starter. It's one of those deals where at what point this season do you have to start making those decisions as an organization? I mean, is this going to be our guy? And I guess we're always looking for the no, and he's only given yeses this far as, you know, him being able to excel at this level. And obviously there's going to be ups and downs, but I mean, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before. And regardless of the outcome of this next game or the game after, I think he's proven a lot to a lot of people that, you know, he can play in this league at a high level.
I agree with you. He is the lead coach at the Quarterback Collective. He has trained more than 60 Division I college quarterbacks in recent years, including the aforementioned Brock Purdy. He is Will Hewitt. Will, great job. Really nice to have you on the show. Will, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you having me.
Appreciate you doing it, Will. Good job. All right, there's hour number one. Like I said, I'm trying to get you as many different perspectives and angles going into championship weekend, and that's a really good conversation right there. Hour number two straight ahead. The beef segment at the top of hour number three. Stay tuned.